This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
The Walking Dead, Season 11, Episode 1, A Karen is over. But we're just getting started here on post-show recaps. Yes, we're back. It's Season 11. It's the final countdown. And we are ramping up to the ultimate end of all things Walking Dead until we get our Rick Grimes movies or something. Or our Carol and Daryl spinoff, or Fear the Walking Dead goes into season 93. We still got to wrap up World Beyond. This is not really the end. This is the beginning. The end is the beginning. Wait, that's the other one. Sorry. Let's talk about season 11 of The Walking Dead. With me, as always, I've got a great panel for you here tonight. We'll start off with a man we bring on to the podcast because of his deep knowledge of the subway system. Chappelle, how are you, man?
I'm very excited to be here talking about the subway system. I've been to Subway. I've had a foot-long, like, meatball marinara type situation, but I don't think I've... Have I ever been in a Subway? I don't know, but I'm happy to be here regardless.
You've literally never been in a Subway?
I think I did once. I've been to New York once, and I definitely got on a train. I don't know if it was above ground or below ground. It might have been below ground, and then it went above ground. I don't know. I'm from Texas. We don't do that here.
You don't have trains in Texas.
We don't have underground ones. Not to my knowledge, at least.
All right. That's fair. And, of course, also with us tonight, and hopefully many times throughout the rest of the season, is a man who remembers every single zip code he's ever lived at, AJ Mass.
Well, now it is of great importance that I give them to you in numerical order, starting from my earliest state of birth and residence in the 11354 of Flushing, New York, where they do have subways. By the way, the 7 line runs through. Y'all just going to kill me anyway. I don't even know why I'm talking to y'all.
Well, here we are, whether we came above ground or below, and we are here to talk about the first episode of the season. And I think maybe before we get into all the things that happened in this episode, it might be good to bring our readers back to where we left things, because some of you maybe took our advice and skipped those 6 episodes that were sort of interstitial. You do not need to go back and watch them unless you're like a big Robert Patrick fan, or you wrote a lot of Daryl Dixon fan fiction with Mary Sue self-insert character that might appeal to you. Or you like Fight Club a lot, because I think there was a Fight Club episode in there. But let's talk about where we left things at the end of season 10 and the end of proper season 10. We'll just skip over like all of this season 10C stuff. So let's start off. We had the return of Maggie. That was a big thing, obviously. And so Maggie is obviously very central to this particular episode. And we also had a bunch of our friends going to go see if Eugene got catfished. And I think maybe that's where we start here. The end of last season saw Eugene and Yumiko and Princess and Ezekiel surrounded by a bunch of dollar store stormtroopers and herded into a railway car. And now they are being taken for processing. So, Chappelle, I'm gonna put it to you. Does this mixing in of a different type of post-apocalyptic thing, like, are we getting our dystopias too mixed up here?
I think so. I'm very happy that we're back to our regularly scheduled program. Like, it doesn't look like we're going to get any bottle episodes anytime soon. It looks like they're moving forward with the plot. So I like that a lot. But yeah, they still haven't explained to us what exactly is going on here. And with this being the last season, I don't know if they have enough time to like tie this all up the way that they need to, right? Because they still have like the drama with Maggie, and you know, like we're going to talk about her going back and getting revenge for being like seeing her whole community slaughtered. But now we also have this like stormtrooper land, you know, then people are being reprogrammed or well reprocessed, and we don't really know why yet. We don't know why they're being interviewed so intensely. We don't know what that's what's happening with this, and I just don't know if we have the time. So I'm very excited to see what they do with it, but it is a lot. I can't lie, it's a lot going on right now, at least for me.
Yeah, they spent 2/3 of the episode asking a whole bunch of questions. AJ, what did you make of that? What did you make of all these like unrelated, detailed questions of the before times?
Well, I think first of all, I have to say, you know, the show, the structure of this first episode, you know, we had like the 10-minute long set piece to kick things off with no dialogue, essentially. And that was really cool. And then we focused a lot on the Alexandria of it all. And, you know, the Maggie's quest, you know, when we finally got to our four intrepid Death Star interlopers, for lack of a better term, I was excited to see them. I actually went, oh, cool, we're going to see this. I didn't think we were going to see this in the first episode, given how long it was like 30 minutes in when they finally switched to this story. So I was like really excited to see it. A little disappointed that it essentially turned into this interrogation scene, like, okay, when did this become, you know, line of duty from the UK? And it's just like a cop procedural. It's like this very weird tonal shift. I don't know what all the questions really are because we don't know who they are. I don't even know what they could possibly be that would be interesting to me at this point. I don't think the reveal is going to be worth it because, right, there's two options. They're either really, really nice and they're just trying to weed out, like, weak people, or they're really, really evil, and haven't we seen that turn before? So I don't know what they could possibly come up with there. I hope they can come up with something that's interesting. You know, I took most of this as just kind of weirdly comic relief for an episode that was missing, you know, that kind of the lighthearted moments because the Maggie storyline was so much more intense. So, you know, when Princess is just doing her thing, it's funny. I don't, again, like Chappelle said, I think it's a different show at that point. And I don't know that they melded the two together perfectly. But yet I found myself enjoying it, nevertheless.
Yeah, I want to interject, too, because in that interview scene, you know, one of the things that caught my attention was that they were wearing, like, business attire for this interview. Like, they came in full cop detective, good cop, bad cop garb. And I want to know, like, I was thinking, like, are they good guys? Are they bad guys? But if you're coming in business, like, attire for this, you have to be a bad guy. Because in the zombie apocalypse, did you iron? Did you purposely put on a suit jacket? Like, there's a blazer on this woman. I have a problem with that. Because in the world that we live in right now, I don't even want to put on regular pants. And they got dressed up for these interrogations to ask them, well, what do you wipe with? You know, how often do you use bowel movements? Like, what were your zip codes growing up? You know, remember the first job you had? Why do you have that $2 bill? They're asking you those kind of questions. They got dressed up for them. These people are the devil. I don't know what they're going to do, but I know I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any good explanation for putting people through this, like, Kafka-esque isolation chamber thing. There's no good reason you do that to anybody. Like, no good civilization does that. To your point, AJ, the nice people don't have to weed out the weak ones. The nice people will just give the weak ones something nice.
Yes, but I mean, you know, we've established over the many, many, many years, you know, a certain level of questioning is okay. I mean, Rick had it down to streamline 3. Mm-hmm. So I think they've gone far, far deeper into the pool of questions here. I mean, from a character perspective, it was interesting to see how they all answered the questions differently and how their reactions to being questioned was different from all of them. And I love the turn when Ezekiel turns to the guy, oh, I'm going to talk to you because you're clearly the one in charge. But I've seen that done better on so many other shows. And it wasn't even played as a big reveal here where it's like, oh, you know, that person's actually not the innocent serpent. You know, they're actually the one in charge. Like, it was like, okay, is he in charge? Maybe he isn't. You know, he could have been lying just to mess with Ezekiel Moore. And who cares? Because there's clearly someone above him and someone above him and above her and above her and above him. Mm-hmm. And above, you know, so I don't know. I think it's fine if they, you know, this is the last season. If we get through this mystery real fast, I'll give them episode one to do this. But, you know, if we're still like 11.6 and still not sure what's going on, there's a big problem.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. We need to get them in and out pretty quickly. But, you know, we've seen enough of it here that we know they're not going to be like, there's a couple of different avenues to get them out. Like, we've seen they're capable of escaping, even if they're not actually going to choose to right now.
By attacking the two stormtroopers whose costumes they actually fit into. Hooray, hooray.
That was convenient.
The old Scooby-Doo trick. Ah, you know, classic. You know, it was cartoonish, you know, but I enjoyed their storyline. I actually think I'm kind of invested in it because I think it's when we had all of those like random one-off episodes, I think this was one of the more interesting plot lines that we explored. I mean, not to be disrespectful to the backstory of Dog, but, you know, Princess in the Box was a, like, we kept asking, like, did it really happen? Was she, you know, interrogated? Was all of that just a lie? And so I was happy that we revisited that because that was one of the things we were just left hanging with after last season. So I enjoyed it, but I do think it was largely like that's the comedic group. Like the other group is the serious the group, and we know what their plan is. They're like, they got to get revenge and they got to get food. Like, oh, okay, but let's see what these guys are talking about. I'm kind of invested.
Yeah, you've got a good point, Chappelle. This is something new and different. Like, this is not just, oh, some people are going to come in and steal our shit and kill us, and we've seen that many, many times. But this is like, these people may have something figured out that nobody else does. And that's not even, I think the people that read the comics, and without giving away too much, like the word Commonwealth is big for comic readers. This is a big part of the story going forward. And obviously the show does some things that are not quite the same. We can't use the same characters in many cases. And a lot of things in the comics that have been a big deal end up being nothing on the show and vice versa. So I don't even know if it is a spoiler to say that the Commonwealth is a huge deal in the comics, because it may not be in the show, but I'm guessing it is. And I'm guessing that, like, these people, they have a different way of life. They're not nomadic murderers and they're not like just scraping by like our heroes. And I think that's potentially very interesting. Like, where did they get their business casual attire? Who does their ironing? That's already interesting.
It caught my attention. I'm not going to lie to you. And I want to know how you make these two storylines become one, right? Because right now we don't have any reason to believe that the Commonwealth has anything to do with these, like, you know, mercenaries that went and took out Alexandria or whatever. You know, like, we don't have any reason to believe that those two things overlap. And so, I mean, do they overlap? I think even, I think someone even asked the question, like, is it real? You know, like, are they just talking about something that could just be fake and they're just holding us here? I would like to know. So, yeah, hearing that it's in the comic, it gives me hope that this is going to be like a larger plot line. But I definitely want to know how you get that other group back with this group. Because for me, this is the more entertaining group. They're funny. I had a couple laughs.
Yeah, they got the right group together for this, for sure. So I'm going to be very interested to see what happens there. I did think one thing they did that really annoyed me is that we didn't see how they got the armor. They didn't see them like doing the classic cartoon maneuver of like bopping someone over the head and stealing their clothes. Mm-hmm.
Well, and they hinted at how they got the armor.
Yeah, we don't.
They hinted that Schmucky and Schmucky 2 go off and have their little dalliance and just leave their armor lying there and come back and get it later. So, you know, they kind of hinted at, we don't really need to see them putting it on because that's all they would have to do.
Because it takes the entire rest of the episode, and we needed that extra time to ask a lot more intrusive questions.
Yeah, I mean, also, I mean, you know, it's episode one again, and clearly they're in some sort of danger. I feel that. But how much danger can it be if they can pull off the ruse of, hey, you two, where are you taking them? To reprogramming. Okay, carry on. Like, you know.
Cool. Yeah.
Like, it's fine. We're all fine here. How are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little much to believe that a finely oiled machine would they could escape so easily. And yeah, I mean,
it's not
And I liked the fact where they end it, where it's like, hey, there's this board of pictures and hey, you're on this picture, Yumiko. Like, oh my goodness. Like,
you're on the milk carton.
Yeah. It's like, okay, cool. That's a reason to stay. Like, yeah. I get that, especially in a post-apocalyptic world where we do kind of play the game of, oh, of all the people in the world to stumble across us, it's somebody I knew from college, or it's my long lost friend who I knew once 53 years ago. Like, that coincidence card, you know, it's hard to figure out how to play that, but this kind of makes sense. Like, if there's like a muster point here where people are brought, then perhaps, you know, someone who knew Yumiko would have come here. Sure, it makes more sense to me. So I'm willing to see where it's going. I'm interested to see where it's going. And I, you know, really, I can't argue with Eugene and Princess on the screen at the same time. They both make me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, they're hilarious. I mean, not to mention that that board is kind of, it's a ticket in, and it keeps us from having to sit in the Kafkaesque nightmare for a whole other episode.
Yeah, it says at the top, expedite these people, and you assume someone's gonna put two and two together there.
There was an Easter egg in that scene. Did you hear about this? There's somebody else whose name we know is on that board.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Yeah.
I did not see that. Are we going to tell me?
Yeah, there is a note on the board. Somebody's looking for Heath.
Oh, we haven't heard that name in a while.
I know.
Yeah.
And then
okay,
Corey Hawkins, kind of busy, but if he ever wants to come back, I think somebody's looking for him.
Well, tick, tick.
That's cool. These picture wall things, they always get me. I mean, y'all are from New York, so y'all understand, too. Y'all know the picture wall. I remember when Katrina happened in the Astrodome, we had the picture wall. Like, it's a thing. And so whenever you show me a picture wall and someone's staring at it, I mean, I'm like an android. I only know one speed. I'm just giggling all the time. But that one actually does hit me in the heart. And so when I saw that scene with Yumiko, I was like, okay, as much as I want y'all to get out, I get it, you know, so I wasn't shocked that she ended up staying. But yeah, definitely hearing that even Heath's name is coming up, that does have me a little bit more interested. I'm hoping that it's just not an Easter egg for Easter egg's sake. And I think that's what I'm more annoyed about The Walking Dead. A lot of times they will leave us with stuff that just never gets tied up, and we're asking questions about it for seasons after seasons. And with this being last season, it's like, well, don't give us that if it doesn't mean anything. You know, like, I want to know that if Heath's name pops up and we're supposed to notice it, that it matters and not just like, oh, remember Heath? That we liked Heath.
Remember that?
You know, like, yeah, remember that? That's the thing that happened. So hopefully, you know, it leads to something else. I'm optimistic.
Yeah. Can we have maybe the series finale could be like either the Animal House ending or even the 6 Feet Under ending, where we just take a whole long list of all these people. We don't know what happened to them. And we just go down the list. Like, here's what happened to this person. Here's what happened to this person. So Heath got eaten and we get the closure.
As long as it does not involve Chris Hardwick and a montage, I'm okay with that.
Oh my gosh. I think we're good here. Yeah. In memoriam or whatever.
Yeah. Although if somebody wants to write us a song parody to the tune of the In Memoriam song, as has happened in the past, I'm totally here for it.
And I think it'll go a little something like this.
Oh.
Heath, what happened to him?
Yeah, so let's rewind then, and let's go back to this set piece that we didn't really talk about. AJ, you brought it up with the 10 minutes of almost no dialogue, this beautiful cinematic thing that was really not much information we didn't already have, but shot in a new and interesting way, I think.
Yeah, you had the rappelling down into a subterranean bunker, and that was kind of cool. I like the fact that the people who went down to do the foraging and who were put in the biggest danger were the women, and the men stayed up. And, you know, I get that part of that might just be because they needed the upper body strength to be able to pull them back in. But I think there's a genderless power structure here that is definitely noticeable when you do that. And I thought it was very cool that I wasn't afraid for any of them because there are women, and you would get that on a lot of other shows where it's like, oh, you need the big man to save, you know, we don't need the big man to save these women. They're badass on their own and each in their own way. And that was cool when you realize that. And then we had the sleeping zombies,
sleeping dead.
The sleeping dead. That's a good entry point, I thought.
Yeah, one of the questions we had, several different people asked us this question. Have we seen The Sleeping Dead before?
Mm-hmm.
And we have. The answer is we saw them as early as the prison, I believe. Like, there were a lot of scenes of, like, people walking down a hall and thinking that is a dead, dead person. And then the dead, dead person turns out to only be partially dead. And in that point in the comics, they explain it in detail that if a zombie doesn't eat for a while and nothing interesting happens, it just sort of, like, kind of loses energy and kind of gets lethargic. They call them lurkers. But they can wake up pretty quick when something interesting happens. So I thought it was interesting that they decided they're not going to bother these zombies. They're going to see if they can just get in and out without perturbing them in any way. And it almost worked, but you knew it was not going to go off without a hitch for sure.
Right. It's the ticking time bomb. You know, we're just waiting on it to happen. We don't know who's going to trip it. We don't know how to screw they're going to screw this up, but we know it's going to come eventually. And it does. I think the scene pays off. I think, Herschel is built by a lurker, you know, it's like in the past. I think I ended up having to look it up because I was like, why are these zombies sleeping? But yeah, so like the lurkers have been around for a while, but I think that it kind of adds a different layer of like, now it's like a landmine, you know, like you got to watch where you step. You can't be too loud. You don't know what's going to trigger them. Even something as small as a drop of blood will wake them all up. Who knew? So I think it's interesting. I hope they use them more. Also, we come from a season where there were largely not a lot of walkers in the first place. Like, the last season, we were talking about how, like, you could tell the COVID impact, right? Like, you don't have too many people in any scenes. There's a lot of people who you never see in the same scenes because you probably don't want to expose them. Now you have the opportunity to say, okay, well, maybe we might have 3 or 4 walkers move, maybe 10 max, but we have a lot of them laying around the room. So you still get that feel without necessarily having to have a bunch of people casted and put at risk of, you know, some other type of apocalyptic disease. So I enjoyed the scene overall.
I think it's a fun way to make a heist film sequence where normally this would be the room with the lasers in it.
Exactly.
Yes. And okay, so the lasers are now just zombies. I thought that was a clever way to do that.
Yeah, I did have a couple of questions, though. I have several questions about this plan. And my first question being, if they ended up having to take them all out from the air in the first place, why didn't they do that to begin with? Like, take out a bunch of the zombies and then go in so you don't have to worry about waking the zombies. The second thing is, we have a lot, there's a lot of noise made about there's not enough shelter for people. We're going to have to rebuild all these buildings. We need places to put people so they can sleep. We need, you know, we need to supply people. Well, why are you going into this perfectly good army barracks and taking all the food out? Why don't you bring the people to the food? And then you have a nice place to stay that is secure. You don't have to build a big wall. You don't have to, you know, you have guns, you have food, you have bunks, you have helicopter parts if you need them. And you just clear out that area and put people in it. I don't know why that's not an option.
Yeah.
I mean, I could argue that if you're coming from living in a town and being outside for many years, be it Hilltop or Alexandria, you know, to put yourself in a really claustrophobic space like that with only one entrance from the top, I mean, you are sitting ducks for the first people who come by with hand grenades. I don't necessarily think that you would feel safe there.
That's a good point. If there's only one ingress, that is a good point. And it also surprises me that nobody else knew this thing was here. It's been 10 years. I feel like all the MREs would have disappeared at a certain point.
Yeah. How long have the lurkers been laying there? You know, we don't even know. Like, someone could have just left like a week ago and then these people have moved in and maybe they left the MRE. So you don't know who's going to come back either, I guess. So I don't think it's the most solid plan, but I hadn't thought about it, honestly, until you mentioned it. I think the reason you probably don't take out a bunch of the walkers from the air is that you wake the rest of them up, right? Like, you start shooting down in there and then you're like, okay, the coast is clear and now you have to deal with the walkers. But you could tell they put a lot of thought into this plan because this pulley system that they had and all that other stuff. Like they have been, they must have been working on this for a while, because it's not just something you just guess that you can do. Like, we'll lower y'all down, y'all can grab the you know, the MREs and then just come back. Like, no, that's not how things work. Like, someone had to scope this out. So I'm hoping that they've already realized, like, maybe it's just not viable. But yeah, when they're sitting there thinking about where else can we go, that's a perfectly good example of a place you can go if you think it's safe. Because wherever they're at right now, it's just not going to hold up, it seems.
Yeah. Do you do this thing where you walk around thinking about various structures in your neighborhood, in your city? Like, if there was a zombie apocalypse, would this be a good place to live?
It's crossed my mind. Every single day. Especially since Tiger King times.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Even like I mentioned, you know, Katrina earlier, but you know, down in Texas, it became like a thing where like people were living in stadiums, and it was not great. It was not great. And I'm like, for me, there's no way I go to a stadium in a world where there's like as an apocalyptic area. Like, I'm looking for whatever last place has a bomb shelter or something like that. You know, like, it just it's really hard to find refuge in a place like this. That's like largely desert. But you know, it's something that you just can't escape in your mind. So yeah, seeing this army barrack, for me, that looks very attractive as a place to stay. But I guess they have better options. Maybe they have access to maybe like a water system. I don't know what the landscape is around where they currently live, but I mean, they're not going to be able to stay there long, regardless.
Yeah, like Alexandria is pretty much leveled at this point. They got to figure out something new. Which I think, like, that's part of the Hail Mary pass we're doing up at the Commonwealth. It's like, well, if these people are okay, if Eugene can get in a good word with us to his girlfriend, maybe they can invite everybody else to come stay with them. But there's got to be, you know, and then we also have the other option of Maggie's old town. She's like, yeah, we just left and we left all this good stuff. And maybe the people that chased us out didn't take it for some reason. It seems like also a very long shot, because why were these people chasing them out and killing them if not to take their stuff? Because I'm given to understand we want your stuff is the primary motivator of every villain in the Walking Dead universe.
I have a question too. Do we think this even is a good plan, right? Because I feel like this plan isn't even motivated by that. I think this is just Maggie not being happy that she got booted, right? Like, a large part of it is that, like, okay, they took our stuff. Yes, we need to go get our stuff back. But I think this is, let me go get my friends, and then we're going to roll on your friends, and we're going to get revenge because you killed all our, you know, the people. So I'm like, I don't even know if Maggie has thought that through, that what are you going to? There might not be anything for you there. Those people could have taken that stuff and left. But Maggie's assuming that they're there and there's extra stuff. And I just don't know what there is.
Yeah, it seems like Maggie just wants something to do. And that's kind of Maggie's problem. She just wants to be in charge of something.
Well, I mean, and also I think you do have, at least I could see some sort of motivation coming from the, look, if I stay here and do nothing, I'm going to see Negan's face every single day as a reminder of everything that I've lost. And what she's lost in terms of Glenn, she can't get back. What she lost in terms of this place, maybe she can, at least in some small part. And I think she's grasping at straws because, again, every time she looks over and sees Negan, it's like, damn. So I can see that being just a motivating factor of like, I'm not sitting here and doing nothing. And at least this is a place that I can rationalize in my head. Even it might be stupid, but I'm not staying here.
I can stay here and look at Negan every single day, or I can go out on the road with a project and look at Negan every single day.
Yeah. Well, definitely bring him with you.
Bring with you the thing you're trying to escape.
He might not ruin your plan. He might just let you, you know, get attacked by walkers in the subway. Who knows? For me, though, I really wanted to know that, because it was like the Maggie Negan of it all. Like, I really want to dive into this because, you know, like, yeah, she could just stay where they're at, but they're going to run out of food anyway, right? Like, staying there looking at Negan is not the biggest of her issues. Like, eventually they're going to run out of food. They got like a week left. And so it's like, they have to do something. So I don't really blame them for having the plan. But my first question was, why is Negan with y'all? Like, y'all can't lock him up, or like, Maggie's here now. Like, obviously you have to pick sides. You pick Maggie's side, you lock him up, and then they go do the mission. But when Negan calls her out later on, and I know we haven't gotten there yet, I actually started to believe him a little bit. Like, is this the long con? Is it like, let me just get you out in the like in the wilderness so I can kill you and nobody will say anything and we'll just move on with our lives? Because why is he here? I mean, they say he had like the working knowledge of DC.
Yeah.
That's it?
He's really? An uncle.
And also, yes. Nobody listens to anything he says anyway, so why do they have him? If he's supposed to be the expert, they should be, you know, taking his expert advice, and they're not. So, you know, this goes back to that that MCU meme where he's like, well, he's out of line, but he's right. That's kind of the description of everything Negan does. Like, he's a jackass, and he's not sympathetic, and I don't forgive him, but he's right about just about everything that comes out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets to the point where, you know, Negan, for all of his problems as a character and lame attempts at trying to redeem him and all that stuff, which is just show, it's not going to work. It's never going to work, so just stop it. But
didn't work with Jaime Lannister either, show.
Yeah. Ding, ding. But, you know, I think what I've always thought made the best bad guys, and I hearken back to Pinhead from Hellraiser, is such a great bad guy because as horrible a character is, he never lies. Mm-hmm. He always tells the truth, and he follows his own moral code. Skewed as it may be, you know where you stand at all times, and he's not going to lie to you. And that's why Negan as a character is valuable because, yeah, he can be an asshole and he can be completely self-interested unless it's part of a, you know, a deception, you know, like with Alpha, like, oh, I'm going to get him with Alpha. Like, that's different. I mean, in terms of our heroes, he's not going to lie to them. He has no interest in lying to them. In fact, he revels in telling them the hard truths that no one else is saying. So I like the fact that when he's going on this mission, he's like, yeah, this is a bad idea, and here's why X, Y, Z. And they're like, yeah, well, all right, fine, don't listen to me. I'm the truth teller. That's my value. Hate me all you want. Kick me in the shins as you walk by, but walk in the direction I tell you.
Yeah, and this was inherently a bad idea, though. Like, from jump, the moment the storm happens, and they're like, it's 6 hours in this pouring down rain, he says, let's slow down. They're like, no. It's like, okay, listen. Is tomorrow never going to come? Because y'all have a week and y'all are like, we need to do this right now, today, right now. And it's like, do y'all have some type of intel that says like, this is the perfect time to strike? If you wait 6 hours, is it going to be any worse? If you wait till tomorrow, is it going to be any worse? And I was kind of trying to wonder like, what's the big rush? You know, like I get that y'all have a week, but it's pouring down rain. Like, it's torrential out there. And their only option is to go into the subway, which just sounds like a bad idea in a zombie apocalypse where it's pitch black. So it's like, there has to be a reason why someone is pushing for this plan right now so hard. And so when he makes his pitch that, you know, I think Maggie is just power hungry and also trying to just utilize me until she can kill me, and I don't like it. I think she was going against all logic, so he had to kind of think in that way. Like, it's not making sense, so there must be something else here. And I kind of believe him.
One thing I was shocked about is that we did not get Chekhov's flood. I was really surprised that we did not see Negan's prophecy come true. Nobody got washed out of the tunnel.
Not over yet.
Could be coming next week.
Yeah.
But especially when I had to look up a Karen Acheron. Please, Greek scholars, let me know how I'm supposed to be saying that. We thought it may be Acheron. None of us are Greek scholars. So somebody tell me how I'm supposed to be pronouncing this. But it is the name of one of the rivers of the dead in Greek mythology. And so I was like, of course, there's going to be a river coming through that tunnel. It's going to wash everybody away and make them dead. That is why that's a thing. And miraculously, nobody got washed away.
No, although the flow of zombies in that tunnel along the
literal river of literal dead.
Literal river of literal dead with the ocean floor of the white sands of the zombie plastic, you know.
stop putting stuffed animals in piles of dead bodies.
Oh, yeah. There's that.
Hate it.
Oh, they name it Acheron, and they could have just named it the River Styx. That's shenanigans. It was right there.
If they called it Styx, they'd have to contend with like a whole bunch of Negan's Mr. Roboto jokes.
But we have so many.
You know, Maggie, sometimes I wonder if I am machine or mannequin. By the way, secret, you got a secret.
You can hear him like sarcastically, like, well, domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. There's a lot of Negan expressions. The one that comes to mind, he says something about living rent-free in someone's head. And I'm like, isn't this supposed to be taking place in a world where we didn't have that expression? Like, you can't say the word zombie, but you can say an anachronistic phrase when the world ended in 2010 and you're using 2017 lingo. Sure.
He's before his time. It's lit.
He's an innovator.
Maybe it originated with him.
Yeah.
He invented it, like the guy that invented transparent aluminum.
How do we know we did not invent it?
let's talk a little bit more about the literal river of literal dead, because that was gross. And what do we think that is?
Well, I mean, I'm no expert of the subway system, and you know, I don't have a map even to guide myself here. But you know, I don't know about its location to even like maybe a nearby hospital. That you know, we see even in real world COVID times how they have to just build these extra facilities on the fly, and you know, in the middle of a you know this pandemic of zombiness, you know, they probably just I could see hospitals just dumping everybody just down the nearest tunnel. You know, I could see that happening. From that, I don't necessarily say I think this is like some sort of mass grave for some vicious military group as of yet unencountered. I mean, certainly it could turn that way, but then again, that to me is just repeating the same old, and just I'd rather just be like, yeah, it would just they're in plastic bags that were disposed of, sort of in a you know with intent. So
it's very orderly.
Yeah. I could see it just being like hospital runoff or something.
But that one guy's throat was
not just cut. One. None of the walkers down there made any sounds.
No.
When they were like in the bags, like even when they were stabbing them, none of them like made the walker noises. And so I have to wonder if, you know, I don't know how many. I am not a trained doctor, but I don't know how many hospitals are like, oh, make sure you cut the trachea before you allow them to go down. Before you throw them into the body bag.
And yet, severed zombie head will continue to make the zombie noise,
which is wild, right? We've seen the zombie head just live.
Yeah.
Like we've seen it like legit almost walk across the ground with no feet.
We've seen them live rent free in the governor's apartment.
Right. These guys were paying rent.
Yeah, you have to sever the voice box, like whatever that means. So I don't know. It seems like you have to be a medical professional to pull off a procedure like this. Who else would have the technique or the steady hands? So maybe AJ is right.
Yeah. Yeah, episode 3 will encounter the mad doctor of DC or something.
Oh my God.
I'm assuming it's Dexter at this point, because this looks very this looks very much like Dexter's MO. And maybe that's the crossover event that we've all been waiting for. I think it's meant to evoke that because of how orderly it is and how everybody's been dispatched this way. And I think they looked fresher. They looked fresher than if they had just been dumped down there during the fall. And especially, you know, they have this brand new bunny. Where are they getting a brand new bunny also? I have to wonder that. Like, where are you getting all these people to murder? It is the end of the world. Where are all these people coming from? That's my question.
That's a good question.
That's always been a question, I think, you know, in terms of eventually you figure the dead won't be a problem because there's just not any dead around anymore. When, you know, oh, the horde, we got rid of that horde. Oh, great. Well, that's our state's quota. Got to wait for 100,000 more people to die and there aren't that many left. So, yeah, I could at some point you would think, although you're always going to get a refresh as people die, the curve's going to go way down.
Yeah. Well, what are we contending with right now, AJ?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I would like to know, though, like, let's say so no one's not going in and surgically removing their ability to, you know, to make sounds. Like, in the way we've seen people die is that they die and then they come back to life as a zombie. Like, it just happens it just happens. But do you have time to wrap them in plastic before you dispose of them and then it happens? Or are they, like, suffocating them to death in the plastic? It's like, for them to still be able to move, that means they died while they were in there. And so, if they didn't die while they're in there, that means somebody wrapped them up, threw them down there, and they've just been playing dead the whole time like lurkers. So I have a ton of questions about how this massive amount of people ended up in body bags or plastic saran wrap or whatever this is, and also dead, you know, at the same time. Because normally when something dies, you get away from it. So were these bodies there before the zombie stuff, and now they're just, like, waking up? Like, I don't know. I just don't know if we can explain that when there being so many bodies.
Well, and why are all their throats cut? Like,
yeah,
you're not cutting them through the plastic. You're cutting the throat, putting them in the plastic, dumping them in there.
And then they one day will get up, you know.
if they are left over from the initial onset. Yeah, like you said, we're in a world where we don't know what zombies are. So we don't know bullet to the head. We don't know kill the brain. So maybe they thought, all right, just quick, cut the throat, body bag. Down the hatch. Cut the throat, body bag, down the hatch. It could have just been the procedure at the time. Yeah. I don't know.
Like a laundry chute.
This may be one of those questions we never find out too, Chappelle, because we're stepping over these zombies and moving on to the next stage of the game. We might never come back to this.
I want us to come back to this because they said, you know, like, whatever did this could still be out there. And I at least want to know that we even, like, even if it's not out there, that we at least know that it's not out there, right?
Maybe
Heath. maybe it's Heath. Maybe it's the taxidermist. Like, bring him back.
Yeah, love that guy.
He was a magician with his hands, you know, so bring that guy back.
Underappreciated genius.
Before his time. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like because they laid that little breadcrumb, I would like to see it amount to something.
Yes.
Agreed. Yes.
And not just like the series finale, we say, you know, Heath was the serial killer, and it turned out he got eaten by one of his victims.
Benny the Jet Rodriguez went on to play pro baseball, and my best friend.
Senator and Mrs. John Blutarski.
We need to start working on our, that was what we should do for the finale. All the things they don't tie up, we should just create like a long, like form list of all the people. Like, think back to way at the beginning, like, no, T-Dog did not actually die. He went on to start a community college and get his associate degree in culinary arts. Like he always wanted to, you know, like we need to do that.
Yeah,
the Vatos. What happened to the Vatos?
That's the one that I wondered about, because I know the show is not shy about bringing back somebody from episode one in season eight and being like, mm-hmm. Hey, remember Morales? Oh, yeah, he turned into a savior, and now Rick's going to murder him.
Yeah, if they don't do it, we will.
Yeah, let's make a whole list. We will have a special at the end of the series. We will say, these people... You know, stitched together the corduroy suit that Elton wore on his shirt.
Yes.
So much. These people are responsible for setting the blaze of Gory.
Oh my gosh. Because we still have not. I can't wait till we get back to the little tykes. Let's just say that. I'm just very excited.
It's kind of sad that we're watching the flagship and we're talking about how much we miss World Beyond.
I do. I really do.
I need a sandwich.
Well, I bet they have sandwiches in the Commonwealth.
Possibly.
If it exists.
Possibly, but, you know, they certainly will cater to your dietary restrictions, and they'll know what they are.
Mm-hmm. They certainly will. I think any place that is able to take requests on that magnitude, that even is allowed to care about that, they must have something going on. They're not just like a bunch of chain link fences and five guys playing all the roles.
Mm.
So I think everybody winds up there. That's my prediction.
Yeah. I hope it's real. I hope it's real because it would be nice to see how you merge all that. But if it's fake, then that shows me how we get away from it. Because it's like, oh, look, it's all a ruse. You know, we've just been holding people hostage. Yeah. Right. And then we get everybody, the gang back together on Maggie's ultimate plan. But this isn't the big fight, right? Like, is this what we're leading up to? The series is about to end. Are we really leading up to, like, Maggie and her crew going to fight the old crew and then live happily ever after? No. What is The Walking Dead once this season ends? Like, what do you guys predict? It's episode one of the season finale. What are we looking at for the series? I'm sorry, series finale. Like, what are we looking at for the very end? Like, knowing the pieces we have on the board, what is the optimal ending for this show that we have in front of us?
I think the optimal ending for the show is getting everybody back together on the same board again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think Michonne has to come back for like the last episode or two. You know, she doesn't have to have Rick. I mean, it'd be great if she has Rick with, because that would be just a really cool way to end the series, is Rick going to sleep in a bed, you know.
Yeah,
start Rick, with waking up in a bed.
And Rick coming over the hill being like, hey guys, what did I miss?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Some sort of like closure in that regard. You know, Daryl and Carol got to go off happy together in their coexistence.
Yeah.
Spinoff or no, I mean, we all want that. We all want that friendship to just go on, and she doesn't want to stay. And so, but as long as she's got Daryl, it'll be okay. I think that, and, you know, okay, you know, a lot of the dead people, the people we've lost, let's find them. Mm-hmm. Let's get reunited. You know, Connie can come back and Kelly can find her.
Well, the problem is Connie comes back. That kind of ruins the Daryl Carol thing.
Or it makes it even more interesting.
Yeah, you know, like I said, or it'd be some closure, even finding a body, like closure on that storyline there. You know, like the things that have the strings that are just left hanging there. I think we definitely don't have time to set up this whole Commonwealth thing and have it not be the thing that drives the whole season. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it all, we either go there because it's great, or we escape from there and come back to our own place and just build it up again. And again, that's where the Michonne and Rick coming back and like, let's start over as family kind of thing can go. Heck, build a barn. Like, build a barn.
Raise a barn. Like,
Herschel's barn, too.
Herschel's barn. Yeah, named after Herschel Jr., baby Glenn.
that's where I think it can go. You know, I don't really want to have like a 25 years later fast forward where
you know we're Judith, getting it though.
I know Judith is going to be there, and Glenn Jr. and
Herschel Jr. and Judith are going to be a couple. They're going to have a whole baby. They're going to be wearing Rick's damn hat. I know. Boo.
And someone's going to be. One of them is going to have some sort of chemical lab and go, I found the cure. Freeze frame.
And everybody's like, yeah, we don't care. We killed the last zombie 50 years ago.
We're fine living like this. Yeah. It's fine. We have a system now.
I think I would like there to be a happy ending just because the show is so miserable for so long. It was supposed to never end. It could be a bittersweet happy, but I don't want like it to end with like everyone just dead in the field going.
Yeah.
And that's it. No people left. You know?
Rocks fall. Everyone dies.
I mean, that's what I'd have to put my money on, though, because I told you guys, I was misled when I started watching this show. I was watching the show and I came in thinking we have a plan. The plan is to find the cure. And then somewhere along the lines, Eugene said, hey, I made it up. and we thought we were finding the cure way before we met Eugene. But when Eugene finally says, you know what? I don't think there's a cure, you guys. We've never gone back to looking for a cure. Like, no one's ever mentioned a cure. No one said anything about a cure. It's like, yeah, that's old. That's old hat. That's a wives' tale. We're not doing it. But I would like there to be some type of, you know, definitive end to the zombie apocalypse. I just don't think we're getting it from this Walking Dead iteration. And then I wonder, well, if we're not getting it here, are we going to get it anywhere? Like, is the world beyond really where we're going to get it? Fear the Walking Dead, we have no foreseeable end to. So, I mean, it could be the end. Or is the Daryl Carol spinoff, you know, I don't know. Is that what will, you know, lead us to the cure? Or like you said, AJ, do they just end up in a field zombies? Like, I would like to know what we're aiming for, because at this point, you can't stretch this out any longer. We have an end date to this series, and I just want it to end when it ends. You know, I don't want it to be ends, but, you know, .. you know, to be continued. So I have my fingers crossed for something to come from the Commonwealth.
I think it's funny because I feel like this is not the kind of show that would say, you know, any place where people are wearing stormtrooper armor and processing inmates for, you know, reprocessing people to evaluate their fitness to join the gang. This does not seem like the happy ending spot. Call me crazy.
Very true. You know, there's just a trash compactor right behind the wall there. They're crushed people who don't pass muster.
They walk the plank.
Well, how long are they being processed? Because even when we see them, you know, we saw that one couple, and I say couple, but that gentleman and that lady is just like talking.
They're a couple now. They might not have been a big
that,
than they are
that
now.
Pair of people, right? Yeah. They were standing there and they're like, he's like, oh, it's been 4 months. And she's like, no, fool, it's been 9 months. And he's like, wait, they process you for 9 months? Why haven't they killed you yet? Like, what are they waiting on? Are they, like, if I feel like they're keeping you alive for 9 months, that means they're feeding you. They're using resources on you. They must need you for something, because it would be so easy to just kill you. So I have to wonder, what could they possibly need you for if they want to keep you alive for so long? Like, room and board is not cheap. You know, it costs a lot of taxpayer dollars to keep these prisons open.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so I have to say that there has to be something there, or are they just doing this because they're crazy and they just want to, like, torture you for 9 months? It just doesn't make sense.
The thing I really wanted to happen is I wanted these guys to be like, it's been 4 months. No, it's been 9 months. And then, like, have one of the guys in armor walk by and, like, stop being dramatic. It's been 3 days.
Right, exactly. We booked them this morning. Yeah. I mean, even the gruel, right? Eugene says, like, the gruel ain't that bad. Why don't we just wait it out? But I'm like, they've been waiting for 9 months. What are they waiting for? What are they expecting to happen just doesn't seem like it's going to happen?
Those people looked clean. They look like they're well fed. They're groomed.
Yeah.
Eugene's got a point. It's not the worst thing.
I mean, yes, for like a month or two is not the worst thing. But 9 months later, you're like, okay, stop reprocessing me. I'm tired of being interviewed. Can I just, what's next? You know, it's like they're in purgatory in a way.
But they're allowing those to stay together. So it's not like they haven't separated them. They haven't said, oh, you can't talk to your friends. You know, this couple that's together is clearly still together. And they don't say, don't talk to the other people. Talk. Share stories. We don't care. We got nothing to hide. We're just not going to tell you what's going on.
So what you're saying is it's the friends we made along the way?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that couple got together during processing. That's what the story
they met. You're like, you're basically Princess, where you can just watch that couple and you're like, no. They're sleeping together, but they don't want anybody to know. It's been 9 months. It's really been 4 months, but their anniversary was 3 months ago and he's forgotten for the last 3 months. And so she's upset. So yeah, I guess you could build your own storyline there. I just want to know why you keep them alive. Like, that just can't be the best use of resources from my point of view.
I was half expecting them to turn to another cell and have Victor Strand sitting there. Well, I'll tell you what's going on, by the way.
Years.
That's the ending I want. Honestly, the ending I want. You know how I said I want the ending to be all the chess pieces on the same board? I want all the chess pieces on the same board. I want, you know, I want Strand. I want Madison Clark to come riding over the hill, like, with Rick Grimes. And then I want Heath to be like carrying their bags behind them. I want the younglings from World Beyond to open the gate and say, hey, welcome. Come on in, Madison Clark and Rick Grimes. Victor Strand is already here. There's Daniel. And everybody from every series on one screen, like the end of frickin' Titanic. That's what I want for my end.
Even Huck?
Especially Huck. I want Huck to have fallen in love with some nice person that she met during processing.
Oh, Huck. Okay. Okay. That's fine.
And then Big Mo,
Yes, Big Mo. We need Big Mo in the finale. We have to have it.
Yeah.
But again, which finale is that? Because this finale is coming, but the World Beyond finale is like one more season, and Fear of the Walking Dead does not have an end date. Daryl Carroll Burnett show is coming as well. The Variety Hour is coming. So when do we get this? I don't know, but I'm my fingers are crossed. I want all the like the end game moment, you know.
Yeah, the end, like the end of the Rick Grimes movie is this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We have to wrap it up for everybody, or we wrap it up for nobody. That's
exactly
how I feel. All right. Well, speaking of wrapping it up for everybody, see what I did there? Yeah. We got anything else we need to bring up about this episode?
The only thing that I would like to bring up is that I am so happy that they did not do what I was afraid they were going to do at the end of this episode. Is I thought for sure Negan was going to reach out his hand and pull Maggie up and, you know, just have that moment of, you know, this doesn't change anything. It's like, didn't say it did, but yet have it, you know, working on Maggie, you know, like, well, maybe he isn't so bad, you know. I thought for sure he was going to lift her up. And I was so happy that he did not, because again, don't redeem this guy. He's an asshole. He is self-interested. That's all he cares about. And he would not have helped Maggie in this situation. And I was so glad they went there. And hooray, hooray, hooray.
Well, it says something about this show that none of us are sitting here like, oh my God, Maggie's dead.
Right. Is she under the dumpster? Who knows?
Yeah, Maggie ain't dead. Like, no.
She ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
She ain't going nowhere. I did also like in that moment too that it looked like Daryl went chasing after Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're led to believe?
Mm-hmm.
What is happening?
Like, Master of Survival, Daryl Dixon, chased after an animal down a mysterious tunnel that he does not know where it goes or what's in it.
And can barely fit in because no one else could move anything over there. Like, he just dove into some rubble to save the dog. And I mean, I guess he didn't have a good plan for how he could get the dog over the platform anyway. But Daryl, what are you doing? What is this?
I'm gonna play devil's advocate here and say
Daryl's advocate.
Yeah, Daryl's advocate, even with his angel wings on his back. Dog is very clever. And would not have run that way if there were zombies on that side. Would not have gone through that hole. I think he's thinking, Daryl, that Dog is leading the way towards the escape. I'm going to scout it out ahead. It must be safe because Dog went there. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to come up back the other side of the train and say, hey, guys, coast is clear. Come on down. I think that's what he's thinking.
You can tell Daryl is a first-time dog owner.
Because sometimes dogs are just dogs.
Yeah, he's gonna find the dog like rolling around in a dead rat.
Yeah, especially in the subway system, right? Like, it's like, dog, what are you doing? And dog's just like, woo, woo, like so proud of itself. I guess it's one of those moments where Lassie's stuck in the well and Daryl knows it because dog told him. I feel like dog could get through that little passage. I just don't know if Daryl realistically should believe that he can too move safely through that passage. At this point, you have to trust that dog will be okay and just climb over the wall. I just don't know why that was just a choice. And so I have to assume that Daryl probably comes up from that hole and then probably saves Maggie or something. But right now it just looks like we just kind of discard the Daryl moment because of the Maggie moment. Maggie's moment is bigger. So it's like, oh yeah, Daryl did just dive under a bunch of rocks in the middle of this, like for no reason almost. So I thought that was a choice, to say the least.
That was capital C choice.
There's many choices, but you know, Maggie falls. And so, you know, you don't end on a cliffhanger with her actually hanging, you actually have her falling. That's kind of cool.
A cliff falling.
That's also a choice. Yeah, but she's not dead.
No,
not in a million years. No,
I mean, it's family tradition. You fall into a pile of zombies and you come out okay.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nicer if there was, one of her flunkies had died first, and so she could just rip that person's guts out from an aerial shot. Then, you know, let's just completely Pete the Saga there.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do instead of like a rite of passage into adulthood. Like instead of a bar mitzvah, this is what Herschel's going to have to do when he turns 13.
Basically. I do have a question for you. I think that we have to plant our flag here. Negan is alive. Maggie is alive. Mm-hmm. Do they both survive this series? And if they do survive, well, if one doesn't make it, is it at the hands of the other one?
Like, because we live while the other survives.
Yes, a very popular prophecy that I know well. But that's what I have to know here, because I've been out on the Negan for a very long time. There's nothing he can do to run me back.
I was never on the Negan.
Right. Like, this is not a thing for me. But I just don't see a world where it happens.
I have a thought on this. I think Negan tries to sacrifice himself for the greater good at some point.
Ew.
And Maggie doesn't let him. She saves him from that self-sacrifice.
Ew.
And a little boy kills
Negan. Oh, my God. Not Herschel.
Oh, come on.
Yep.
Stop it.
I'm giving Negan the Jon Snow ending.
Oh, my God.
A little boy will kill him.
Justice for
Ollie. Revenge of Daddy.
Justice for Ollie. He told Jon Snow. Anyway,
I'm going to do you one better in the hashtag basic.
No,
department.
No. I can't stand by and listen
to this. I think Negan does die. Negan does die, and he dies saving Herschel. I think that's what.
No.
That's what it's pointing to. Like, that's the most hashtag basic thing I could think of. And that's like storytelling 101.
And Maggie's pregnant and she names her child Negan. That's when you wrap it all up.
Pregnant by whom? Who's pregnant?
I don't know. It could happen. It was a big guy. What's his name?
Gus? Hodor, apparently.
Yeah, Hodor. Yeah, what's that? The big guy. Yeah.
The guy with the man in the iron mask?
Yeah, him. He seems like a nice guy. Or her. Yeah, they. Whoever that is.
Yeah, they introduced a lot of characters, and like, my name is, and I'm like, I don't care. Don't care. Yeah. Don't care. Don't
right.
Care.
Who is my Alden?
My name is Cannon Fodder. Oh, Alden. I know who he is because I was calling him Aiden for like half a season. And then I was calling him Elton for a while, and I think that wasn't right. But yeah, he's around. He and Maggie had it looked like they had some sparks, and then he got with Enid, and then Enid died, and so now he's back on the market.
We got action. Yeah. That's
the interesting thing. I forgot to bring this up. He was a savior.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he's sitting there like telling Negan to STFU. So how the tables
the
have
audacity.
Yeah.
How dare you?
So that's, you know.
Well, he's one of the saviors who gave up. And like you said, we got to stop this. So there's at least that.
He was France, basically.
Oh, C. Thomas Howell.
Yeah.
There's a C. Thomas Howell sighting here, folks. I mean, my goodness. He had like maybe two lines of dialogue or something in the tunnels, and he didn't really get focused on. But I'm like, that's C. Thomas Howell. He's got to be
in the room.
A character. Because you don't get C. Thomas Howell to play somebody if he's not going to be around for a little bit.
I love that he's just like a fan and he wants to be on the show.
I mean,
it makes me so happy.
Anytime I see Ponyboy Curtis, you just got to grin from ear to ear in the first place, right?
Man.
He's a soul man.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that movie, AJ.
Oh, my gosh.
Neither does Ray Dong Chong.
This episode left me with a few questions, but that was my biggest one. I definitely wanted to know, like, well, we have the players. What happens with this? Because I think that's, for me, that's the most intriguing part of all of this. Another smaller question would, of course, be Pumpkin Suit Guy. You know, he says he's in charge. We know he's probably not in charge. But who is in charge? And does it even matter? And so they only have a limited amount of episodes. I don't know. Do y'all know how many episodes the season is going to go for?
A lot of episodes, though. I think it's like 24 episodes. I think they're doing like the Breaking Bad model of A, B, and C. And it's going to be 2 years long. So it's really, there's like 3 more seasons, if you think about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, then I guess we're in it for the long haul then.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like we're about to wrap this up, but 24 episodes, you have time to start a storyline and end one and start another one.
Yeah, exactly. I think my theory on this is that we are going to have resolved this Reaper situation by the end of this season fragment. Mm-hmm. We will have everybody moving toward whatever their next home is. Probably the end of this fragment as well. We're going to have one more big bad in the middle. And then the end puts everybody where they're going to end up. So that's my prediction.
Yeah, let's go with that. I'm excited. I think, like I said, I think that one group is the entertaining group. You got the angry group with the intrigue, mm-hmm. with the Maggie and Negan. So, yeah, I don't see a boring storyline here. And so I'm waiting to see if they ever just, you know, mesh into one. But even if they stay separate for a while, I think just the way that these two groups are set up, you are going to have your comedic relief over there. You're going to have your intense moments over there. And so regardless of what happens, I think these last episodes are going to be a good time for all three of us.
Yeah. Well, I think even if the episodes were bad, they would be a good time. Especially if the episodes were bad, they would be a good time.
Probably.
We watched a lot of this franchise that's been a lot of not very great, and we've gotten through.
And they know how to set up.
Yes.
They don't always know how to knock down. Mm. And so, but I was happy and encouraged and very, very thrilled to see that the first episode was engaging. Three story, you know, it was the raid, and then it was two storylines that bounced back and forth. I'm like, oh, I even felt progress within the episode. It's like, okay, cool. It was set up but without it being feeling like, hey, exposition. It's like, no, there was action, and they moved, and they actually went places they shouldn't have gone, went places they were warned about going, and they still went there. And so, cool. That's a good start. I hope they knock it down with the second half of this two-parter. And my concerns will start with episode 3.
Yeah, agreed. I will co-sign that for sure. So, AJ, what else is going on for you? I heard there's some Beat My Guest happening.
Indeed, we are in the midst of season 8 of Beat My Guest. You can catch that on your podcasting apparatus of choice. And fun trivia for the whole family. Can be heard there. Also, we have Felonious Pundits, our Criminal Minds rewatch podcast, in the middle of season 2. I think we're three seasons away from C. Thomas Howell's role as the Reaper. So, and he plays a character named the Reaper. So there you go.
Amazing.
Amazing, the kismet there. So yeah, you can check that out as well. Other than that, just doing my ESPN thing and enjoying the tail end of the baseball season before the football rush kicks in.
All right, for sure. And Chappelle, I know you're like the busiest man on the podcast network.
I get around. Currently, of course, I'm very happy to be back with y'all, but I'm also on Silent Podcast Network, talking about Never Have I Ever, the hit Netflix show that is now currently, it's just wrapped up their second season, and they just renewed for the third season. So Sasha Joseph and I are covering it episodically on Silent Podcast. And then every week I talk to Rob on Rob Has a Podcast, of course, with the RHFP Rewind. It is, my baby at this point. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that podcast. I just talk about old reality shows, and that's what I'm doing literally every week. I couldn't be happier. And so, I'm busy, I guess you could say. Busy is a word, but I'm having a good time regardless. But yeah, that's all I got going on. I mean, I'm listening to a ton of podcasts as well. I think that's really what takes up most of my time. Sadly, AJ put me on more podcasts to listen to, because I think I started listening to the, Obscure podcast with Michael Ian Black. And so I've not gotten through that yet. And then I still have to finish Beat My Guest. So most of my time is spent absorbing more podcasts and actually producing them.
Yeah. Well, Chappelle, when are we going to see you as a contestant on Beat My Guest?
Never, because I am not smart enough. AJ would have to change the whole format and make it like Beat My Guest for kids. Are you smarter than a fifth grader who could beat my guest? You know, maybe that is where you would find me. But I love listening regardless.
It's a very fun time. And AJ has also been contributing various trivia questions to a segment on the other podcast that I've been doing. Josh Wiggler and Brooklyn Zed and I are covering the 20-year-old reality TV phenomenon, The Mole, on Mole Patrol. And every week We also use Mole Patrol as an excuse to do a trivia quiz about television plot points. And AJ contributed an entire Criminal Minds round that was very well received, as well as a round about Strigoi that was not very well received. Josh Wigler's favorite show of all time is The Strain. And anytime you see him, you should ask him about that because he loves talking about it. And we are up to next week. We're going to be covering episodes 9 and 10 of The Mole because we're going to take off the week of Labor Day. And it has been the most fun ever. We are almost to what I consider to be the singular greatest moment of television history. And Josh Wigler has never seen it. And we're planning to be in the room physically with him when he watches it. And I'm I've been vibrating about this for like 10 weeks now.
That is awesome. I am very much looking forward to it as well. And there's a Walking Dead scene, of course, that is reminiscent of that I have not brought up to him at all because I don't even want to go that far. But I'm so looking forward to hearing his laughter repeating in my head over and over again.
His head is going to explode.
Pretty much,
It's going to be that good. And it has been just a joy. You can watch The Mole Season 2 on Netflix and follow along with us as we podcast about that. And, of course, many amazing things happening in the Rob Has a Podcast post-show recaps orbit. But if you are not – if you've gotten to the end of your feed and you've listened to everything on post-show recaps, you're probably thinking there's got to be more. And, my friends, there is. You got to become a patron of post-show recaps for all kinds of extra content. You get several weekly podcasts. You get access to a Discord channel where you can make friends, play Dungeons & Dragons, play Brant Steele, play in a Wario-themed casino game that has been written specifically for Discord that every time I go in, there are 20 new rules I don't understand. There is a book club. It's like the second you get there, you have a million new best friends. And you also have the opportunity to listen to lots of extra podcast content. You get, at certain levels, you even get swag. It's a very fun time. And if you want to do all that, you can go to postshowrecaps.com/Patreon for all the details on how you can get started with the patron program. And very highly encouraged. But we appreciate you, even if you're just along for the ride, just listening. That helps us out. Rate and review us in the iTunes store. That helps us a lot as well. And we will be back next week to talk about part 2 of this 2-part premiere. And until then, have a great week, everybody.